You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Wow.
Oh boy. This was the big surprise we were talking about.
Yeah, we tried to keep it
hush.
Yeah, because we didn't know if it was gonna happen. But it did, and we're really excited about it. We just got off the phone with the one, the only Kyle Martino.
Yes. We had a great chat with that you're about to hear. And I think you're gonna be excited about just first of all
the tone. Yeah, the tone alone.
but the idea, look, there's no other USSF presidential candidate has ever been on a comedy show.
Buddy, they don't have the balls. Okay.
Okay. So Mr. Martino was the first in an unprecedented move.
And I want to apologize to the fans because I forgot to ask him, is he Hispanic, Martino? He's probably Italian.
I feel we're looking right at his face. I'm going to say, bro, I don't think so.
If he is, bro, very Argentinian. If he is. But we got a chance to speak to him. There's a couple questions that we asked that he really opened up about.
Yeah.
We were really surprised. I know this isn't the normal tone of our intros ever. But don't worry, the music's coming.
Yeah,
in a second.
That's because we were stunned.
We were stunned.
we're still uncomfortable and shocked from
his
words.
Myself. what an awesome time, and thank you for making time. And look, another Cooligan special episode.
Exactly, huh? And we do want to just point out, want to thank again
who made this happen.
Who made it happen? SeatGeek, hooking up the Cooligans, hooking all of our fans up. If you guys want to support the Cooligans, you guys want to support SeatGeek, you guys want to already go to a fun sports event. You want to go to a great concert. You want to go to a Major League Soccer game.
MLS season is coming up.
That's right.
If you're going to get tickets for games that maybe you're not a part of, maybe they're away games, or maybe you didn't buy season tickets and you just buy them as you get a chance, why would you go anywhere besides the official partner, the official ticketing partner of MLS, which is SeatGeek? So you can go to the app, you can go to the website, you go ahead, and what they'll do is they'll search all the other sites. They'll give you the best possible deal on those tickets. Bruh. I mean, it's smart. You're going to go to all those sites independently? That doesn't make any sense. Just go to SeatGeek.
You're going to be all day going to all these other
All day. You're going to have like pieces of paper on the wall. You're going to have like the red string pointing
it's
around.
Be Minority Report. Yeah. You're going to be all these different screens.
Carol, right? What you got to do is just go to SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com or download the app. It does the hard work for you. Okay? And how about this? Because you listen to Cooligans, just put that bad boy in there. Just put Cooligans in there. You're going to get $20 off your first order.
Yeah, do it.
Doesn't that make any sense? It makes all the sense in the world.
All the sense in the world. You don't want people to say, "Yo, this kid got no sense."
Yeah,
no. You don't want to say that. You don't want people to say that about you.
You don't want that. You want people to be like, "Oh, he clearly listens to Cooligans. He's a smart dude."
That's right. Only the smartest.
Only listen to this drivel that we put out.
They're like, NPR. That's garbage.
That's garbage. Yo, they don't mention Uggs. they don't mention fruit bowls on NPR.
They're very lacking in the fruit bowl department.
That's right. So thank you so much for listening to this special episode. Why don't we get right to it, ladies and gentlemen? We're the Cooligans, and listen to this.
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the Cooligans!
Welcome to, probably the biggest Cooligans episode we've ever had.
If you're watching, you can see his photo, right? But if you're listening, you have no idea what we're talking about. We are about to interview a presidential candidate that may not polarize the entire nation the way other different elections have. This is for USSF, for the United States Soccer Federation.
Yeah.
So many people have been talking about it. We have a million questions.
We'll try to get to as many as we can.
Right.
But this is going to be pretty incredible. And we are very excited to welcome this gentleman into the Cooligans household, if you will.
Into the circle of friends.
We're right here at the Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17.
If you've been watching. Yeah, oh my God, in Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17. Sorry I interrupted you as you were saying that. I mean, if you've watched MLS for a long time, you've seen him play. You may remember him doing some work with ESPN. You may now know him from NBC Sports.
That's right.
The sole American voice for all soccer fans of the English League. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Kyle Martino.
Hello, Kyle.
Massive, massive oversell. This is going to underdeliver for sure.
No, you have no idea how big this is for us, because you know so many people are talking back and forth about what's important about you know what's happening with the soccer presidency and what's going to happen and who's going to get in and all the different changes that might happen. And then people come to us and we're two you know silly comedians and we try to make this funny, but there's so much passion behind this. So having you on means a lot to us.
They always say that in tragic moments, laughter is the best medicine. So I think it's important that we're doing this podcast now because in order for me not to cry on the phone about what's going on, I need jokes here and there.
Well, I was about to say, I mean, for those of us who've been following the U.S. men's national team, been a lot of laughing while crying this past few months.
Also, if you could cry on the phone, that would make for a really great video, great podcast.
Well, and I do also have a, like, Claire Danes, like, really ugly cry, too. I mean, it's beautiful.
Dude, we got a chance to speak to you, but we didn't get a chance to really dive in. I guess the first question is, we know a lot about you from your playing days and from your commentary and, you know, on social media, you and your wife. But what made you want to run for president? Because I heard this is an unpaid position.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what am I doing?
You might have to have a conversation with the lady.
I got to call you guys back. So, yeah, I mean, I had to first answer this question to myself. I was in the aftermath of failing to qualify for the World Cup. I was heartbroken just like everyone else. I went to a bar in Manhattan to watch it with the Manhattan chapter of the American Outlaw. So I was a fan that day. And, you know, it's kind of hard when you're a pundit, when you're in the professional side. You have to walk this neutral ground. So you don't get a lot of opportunities to show your true colors. And I did that night. And it was the saddest moment I can remember as a soccer fan. And I realized in the aftermath that it wasn't the failure to qualify that I was so concerned about. It was the fact that there were so many indicators that we were headed in this direction. And, you know, it's kind of like the mortgage crisis, right, where the financial markets collapsed in 2008 and everyone is shocked. But in reality, there were a lot of people with knowledge, nous, and experience that were looking at, you know, whether it was default rates increasing or income going down, but there being no income requirements for loans and enormous interest rates and ARMs that people didn't understand. All of these mechanisms that led to the bundling of toxic assets into securitization industry that profited off of that. It was all there. You could read it, and a few people did, and famously The Big Short tries to tell you how. Soccer was kind of a similar thing where a lot of us behind the scenes were seeing some of these issues that were being papered over based on the women continually being the beacon of success in this country and really making us proud, but not doing it with a lot of support from us and definitely not equal treatment. And then finally the men collapse. And everyone acts like it's a massive deal, and that's where the focus should be. So one of the reasons I came into the election was because I care about the game above everything else. I don't dissect it and put it in silos and talk about teams or leagues or international versus club. I talk about the game, and that's what I want to grow, and that's what I care about. And I'm worried about the game right now. So one of the reasons I left my dream job with NBC was to just finally put my money where my mouth is. And if I win, lead in a way that we need a leader to take us to a more transparent, a more equal, and a more progressive governing process that finally focuses on the local level and grows a soccer culture. And if I can't convince enough people and win February 10th, I just want to make sure I push all the other candidates to be on record with the things that we care about.
Well, and that begs a question. Do you think that if the U.S. men's national team makes it to the World Cup, you know, they win against Trinidad and Tobago, are you running for the presidency of U.S. soccer?
I'm not, and I have to be honest about that. I don't think a lot of people are. And I give Steve Gans and others that came forward before that historic low and challenge the structure. They deserve a lot of credit because they weren't waiting for the inflection point, or at least the optics of a massive inflection point. We all know the inflection point happened a long time ago, but the reason that the failure was the impetus is because a few mechanisms keep the power structure in place. One is it's an unpaid position, which we joked about. That keeps people who are qualified from making lateral moves from executive positions to challenge a president and create a true meritocracy, so that if you're not doing the job, not performing, or not delivering on promises, you don't get reelected. To have an unchallenged election, it's what happens in countries with corruption. So I'm not suggesting there's corruption here, but it's a red flag that we need to pay attention to. I know it's hard to say that with a straight face, but basically what I want is transparency. It's not about calling people out or making accusations. It's just saying, just tell us what's happening and why decisions are being made, because this Byzantine process is confusing us. So without that low point, right, without hitting rock bottom, it wasn't possible to create a level playing field politically to challenge the power structure that's been created over a few decades.
You know, you brought up a good point, and you played your first team with MLS. You were drafted by the Columbus Crew. They're going through a bit of an issue right now, and I know you've been on record as saying you hope you get in time to possibly help find a way to make that happen. But you just mentioned something, you know, more transparency. The more I learn about what happens in American soccer, and, you know, we started a comedic podcast because we want to help grow the game as well, and we saw that there was no one really being...
You didn't wait for the Trinidad and Tobago failure. You started your podcast well before that.
No, we saw other content and realized that was as big a failure.
That was our Big Short.
We realized other content's, like, entertaining, but it's not funny, and it's not fun to watch as much as what we thought we could do, so we got in the game. But the more we learn about what happens on the inside, the more we're like, oh no. So my question to you is, do you think 100% transparency is a good thing? Is it maybe that Jack Nicholson line of, we can't handle the truth?
Yeah, I'm just envisioning the culmination in A Few Good Men, where Tom Cruise is saying, I believe he wants to say it.
Yeah.
So, there is this you need me on the wall kind of feel of what's going on in this election right now. And I can say this because I know the people that have been in place. And I know Don Garber, I know Sunil Gulati well. I've been in the game for a long time, and we've crossed paths. I respect a lot of the things they've done, and they've been in the game for a long time. So they deserve credit for a lot of things, but there is a point of demarcation, and there is a diminishing returns point that we've passed, where the way that we're doing things is not good for soccer in this country. And so transparency is essential. It is one of the most consistent themes from all candidates. Obviously, there's some irony there a little bit, but there is... There is a desire to just start there. Listen, we can get into the weeds and the nuance of open systems and solidarity payments and pay-to-play and all these other buzzwords that are important. And, of course, we need to talk about those. But without transparency, you're in this awkward situation. Yeah, there's no efficacy, right? It's awkward. And you walk in and you see them try to fumble through explanations. It's like watching divorced parents play Twister. It's just not comfortable. and you know that there aren't good answers. When people don't give answers, it's because they don't have good ones. So I guess at least finally, with the fact that the last time they failed to qualify was 1986, you know, there is a climate of we want answers now. And even if they're bad answers or clearly not accurate answers, we're forcing people to be on record. And then it's up to journalists and fans to report this thing out to make sure that we do, whether if we can't create it legislatively, we're going to, in the court of public opinion, say we deserve answers now.
Well, I wanted to ask in that regard to transparency. I know that you got... I don't know if you got into a little bit of trouble or somebody would have upset with you. I know it was there was an issue with Soccer United Marketing, the infallible Soccer United Marketing, where
hold on, we got to play their theme song. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. But no, well, there was an issue. I know that you made a comment about where the men's national team matches, you know, at what venues they'll be played at. You can please clarify, because I'm kind of sort of, you know, just paraphrasing about that it was Soccer United Marketing that it helped make that decision, and they said that wasn't the case. But
are we talking specifically about the Costa Rica match in Red Bull Arena?
Red Bull Arena, yeah.
Yeah, so that created a stir, and the reason it created a stir is because I'm not the salacious, controversial type. The last time I made an accusation was based off of, again, like this one, knowledge from people that have been in the room, that have been a part of it, and then my own observation. So it was when I suggested that Martin Vazquez, as the assistant coach to Jurgen Klinsmann, wasn't executing well and wasn't capable of preparing the national team for success in the way they were running the team, I was met with a huge challenge from U.S. Soccer. That time it was privately. They called me on my phone right after that game where I did the halftime show and said that. And this was days before their qualifier at the Azteca against Mexico. So why I was even important in their world is a totally, you know, another story. But, you know, they tried to shut me down, and they told me don't do that anymore. They banned me from an open press invitation that was coming up. They weren't going to let me have access to the coaching staff and the players. And NBC put their foot down and said, no, Kyle didn't do anything wrong. This is what journalists do. He had the knowledge. He did it the right way. It was ethical, and we support him. So U.S. Soccer reversed very quickly and allowed me to come back to press conferences. But a few months later, we all know now, Jurgen Klinsmann fired Martin Vazquez. So that's not because of me. I don't have an inflated opinion of myself enough. And I want to hope, of course, it's not because of me, because that would be a bigger problem. But the reason that happened was because I lent my credibility to bring an issue to light. And so I've done that again. I've lent my credibility and my relationships and also my ability to have a person like Bruce Arena on record and willing to be on record making this statement seem more accurate. And I did it with a risk. Now, the risk is if they come forward, and by they, I mean U.S. Soccer, some Major League Soccer, this agreement and this understanding that they have, if they come forward and debunk it flat out, it damages my credibility. But what that does is I offered a chunk of my credibility as collateral for transparency. So that's a win. And listen, they should want that if they've got nothing to hide. But here's the thing. It's not really about specifically that game. We could get into the weeds and the nuances of should it have been played there? Should it have not been played there? My vantage point is completely from a competitive one, having played in World Cup qualifiers and gone to Costa Rica, by the way, the old Saprissa Stadium, and we needed riot police to get off the bus. Before we even got to the stadium, they were pulling the fire alarms and keeping us up all night. And then we got to the stadium. Plaster was dropping off of the ceiling in our locker room because the fans were jumping so much.
I mean,
we went out on the field.
Sounds like regular old CONCACAF to me. I don't know.
They have 30-foot tall gates to keep people from running out onto the field. On the field during our national anthem, they booed. I mean, you go abroad and they literally to the millimeter size of the grass control every competitive advantage they have. So I'm looking at this from a competitive sense, and Bruce Arena has more experience in World Cup qualifiers than anyone else. And Bruce Arena did not want to play that game at Red Bull Arena for that reason and that reason alone. The decision to have it there, U.S. Soccer now has come out with a statement, right? And that, again, my accusation is nothing new. It's just someone with my credibility making that accusation has forced them to be on record. Now, they're on record by saying that U.S. Soccer made that decision unilaterally. That might be a distinction without a difference if Sunil Gulati and Don Garber or U.S. Soccer board members have any equity stake in some, or that relationship is beneficial to people in a financial way. We don't know the answers to that because they won't tell us the answers to that. So that isn't a denial that suffices it. It doesn't assuage any concerns. And then the next part of their statement, they said they check with their and work directly with their coaches, right, the head coach of the national teams. Well, I know that not to be true because Bruce Arena told me that he said 100% we cannot play that game at Red Bull Arena. And listen, we didn't lose that game because it was at Red Bull Arena. The players didn't perform on that day, and that's their fault. The fans performed, and it was one of the most amazing atmospheres, but the players didn't. So we're not saying that this is the reason that the U.S. lost. We're just saying that the most important part of this that we have to highlight is why was that decision made and who made it? So if Bruce Arena didn't want to play that game there, he wasn't involved in that decision. So if that decision was made unilaterally by who and for what reasons? And we don't have those answers. We only have speculation. And don't tell me that you consult the head coaches of national teams, because I promise you that the head coach of the women's national team, whoever it is, does not want to play games on turf. So if you're consulting them, they would tell you that. And the fact that the women keep being put on turf fields, it just proves they're not listening to national team coaches. So again, the statement, it did not clear anything up. So that's why I was willing to put myself in the crossfire and kick the hornet's nest. Not because I don't believe that they're good people or honest people. Listen, the relationship between U.S. Soccer Some and Major League Soccer was integral to the health of the game at a certain point. It was a great move, a wonderful strategic idea that has helped give us so many great things in the game. We just need to know if it's still a good relationship, because it's never been bid out. No one knows the details of it. And if they are truly a third party, a company owned by Major League Soccer, it's hard to understand why they don't feel there's a conflict of interest there. And so doing digging and research, the conflict of interest policy that every 501c3 has, and U.S. Soccer has one, it seems that it has a line in there that says affiliates are excluded from the conflict of interest policy. So, we are not getting answers. We don't have transparency. And in a climate where right down the offices from Major League Soccer, people are being handcuffed and charged with taking bribes for World Cup bids with FIFA, it's just, I think, a really irresponsible thing to do, and it hurts the brand of soccer in this country to not disclose how these decisions are made and what the relationship is.
Wait, who's a 501c3?
Say it again?
Who, SUM or MLS? Which one is a 501c3?
No, U.S. Soccer, MLS, and some are non-profit for-profit companies,
okay,
obviously.
All right. Yeah, if you don't know, 501c3 is a nonprofit for our listeners if they don't know. I was just surprised to hear you say that, because I was like, I remember the NFL used to be a 501c3, so I thought maybe SUM or MLS were. I mean, at some point, are you a little afraid because, you know... You're burning all these bridges, bro. I mean,
I'm afraid right now.
I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid having you on the show. We might have to block this
listen,
out.
Listen, I know that I'm bringing some tough questions and some hard truths. But the reason I'm doing it is because I honestly do believe there's an appetite to all work together to move this country forward and build a soccer culture. And I, even though they're annoyed with me right now, I still do have conversations with Sunil and Dan Flynn and Don Garber. It's kind of like your playing days. You know, you can kick people and fight and get in a fist fight in practice, but you still hug it out afterwards if you truly are about winning games and it's truly about the soccer. So, to their credit, as annoyed, mad at me as they are, and I know they are, they are still going about this thing with communication with me and other candidates to hopefully help us all accomplish what we want to accomplish, which is finally turn the Federation back into a member services organization that grows the game.
And I wanted to ask a particular thing. I know people may be annoyed with you, but there's a lot of people who are very, very supportive of you. I know... personally, from just seeing you on different interviews, if I can compare you to the other candidates, I feel that there is this ability that you have to just, just convey a message that seems a little sweeter. It's like the sweeter side of U.S.
It's the
soccer.
Hair. It's the hair.
Buddy, it works for me, okay? sometimes I come across a little brash and I'm like, oh, I didn't do my hair today.
because there is other candidates that are a much more... things need to change immediately, and this is what's wrong. And there's a much more stoic approach. But I feel like there is a softer plan in place, and I think this might even annoy some people because people want change tomorrow. Like for promotion relegation, I know that you mentioned that it's a thing that can't happen now, but you have a plan to get it in place by 2030. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, completely, to have it totally open by then and start to lead us towards that. I mean, here's the thing. I believe in so many of the things that other candidates are talking about and have so much respect for other candidates because it takes a lot of courage to be in this race and a lot of sacrifice. But Reform is going to happen with a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. So we need to make sure that we are strategic and we are going about this in the right way, because it doesn't help to be screaming from the sidelines. We need to be in the game, and the way to get into the game is to make salient, cogent arguments and do it so that we don't feel rabid and don't march down the street together with torches. I mean, we have to show that we can unify, that we can galvanize, but we can't let it become noise. The messaging has to be clear, and the strategy has to be a long game one, because I promise you, there's no panacea. There's no switch to flip.
Now, people have asked, I think we put it out to the fans that we may be interviewing a presidential candidate for USSF, and probably the biggest question we keep getting is pay for play, pay for play, pay for play. I've heard you in other interviews say it exists a little bit in Europe. You know, we heard the Jonathan Gonzalez thing is broken apart a lot of news that a lot of general fans are starting to hear. One of the most big shocking news that we found out is that USSF only has one full-time scout, which is insane to me.
The budget's tight nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that $100 million y'all got in the bank, they're not spending it on a scout, that's for sure. What are some of the things that you want to change? What do you see by the time 2030 comes? If your system is implemented and you don't get a lot of pushback, which I'm sure you're gonna, you have an open system. But what about the youth development? What about you know, the kids who grew up like us who didn't have enough money to go to academies or travel schools or these big programs? What does it say for them?
So I look at a lot of the buzzwords, and pay to play is one of them. And I just think to myself, we have to, kind of like suggesting we can open the system tomorrow, we have to stop villainizing pay to play like it's something incredibly unique. It exists in other sports in this country and in our sport around the world. The problem we've created is there's market confusion where we've professionalized the game at a really young level, and the cost of play is enormous. And you know, it has parallels to higher education right now, where kids get either under crippling student debt, or their parents have to be really wealthy. And so I look at the budget for U.S. soccer, and I think to myself, well, if you look at the line items, we paid $3 million a year, and by the way, are continuing to pay $3 million a year for a coach we don't have anymore, but a coach that we determined wasn't performing. And over 10 years, we spent $3 million on financial aid. So it's clear that the Federation hasn't done a good job of making the game more affordable, and they've done that by not defining a pathway. So I could write right now, when you come into the game as a six-year-old and you maybe one day make it to the national team, the path that you can take. But, and this wasn't my line, this was someone that was at my summit in Manhattan. There were 25 people from across the soccer landscape that helped me create a progress plan that you guys referenced. And one of the former female players said, Kyle, there isn't a pathway, it's Frogger. And it was, we kind of laughed, and we all thought, yeah, that's it. I mean, there's no real clear movement up. And one of the reasons is we haven't gone to the U.S. Youth, U.S. Club, AYSOSA, organizations, by the way, that do want to work together and do meet regularly, to say, okay, where does everyone want to live? How do we define the space? Let's mutually agree on requirements and regulations that can keep everyone in their lane. And now let's incentivize the development of players to be passed up by solidarity payments, grants, and reimbursements, and other ways that they do it in other countries, to stop the infighting and the clinging to elite players. But that's a movement to professional or Division I college or national team strategy. We can walk and chew gum at the same time, but really the focus needs to be about increasing membership and improving retention. And you do that by using the surplus and other ways that we can get money to build more fields, to create a movement towards futsal, which solves an inner city problem of lack of facilities, to improve coaching education for these communities, to make it free, to offer more financial aid, but most importantly, make the game fun again at that level. We've stressed parents out by charging them incredible fees, and we've made kids realize, well, you know what, if I'm 8 years old and I'm not good enough yet, well, I'm going to go play another sport. Now, in Spain and Argentina and these other countries, you can do that because soccer is the number one sport. You can't put pressure on kids at that age, because the reason this is the number one sport in the world is it's blue collar, it's for everyone, and it is the most enjoyable community health wellness experience for a child. we've stressed kids out. And Mia Hamm said this to me, so I'm not going to take it. She said, Kyle, there's an epidemic that kids aren't having fun anymore, and it's our fault. And listen, if you think it only has rec implications, you're kidding yourself, because Jonathan Gonzalez, who is one of the most phenomenal players that's been developed here, recently just said that he's going to play for Mexico instead of the U.S., which has created a big stir. One of the reasons is he just doesn't feel an affinity for playing for this country and doesn't feel connected to the badge because we haven't showed him the attention and from a young age, these Latino communities and dual citizens, that they are so important to our membership, so important to our game, and we're going to serve them. And he is the real-life elite version of what happens when you start doing that at a young age.
Well, we're here to give our, we're here to give our services. If you need Latino outreach, you've got a Cuban and a Uruguayan.
Well, so we'll have three scouts now. That's perfect.
Three scouts, yeah,
baby. By the way, that's another one that we have to make sure that we don't perpetuate. Where, it's not entirely accurate. There's only one scout, but what we all agree on is we don't have anywhere near as many as we need. If you look at Germany, they're the size of Oklahoma, and they have 1,200 full-time and part-time. Coaches and nearly as many scouts and 390 centers of excellence. So we're the size of Europe. To think we can do this with 90 scouts, let alone a few dozen, it's obtuse.
Just get a big old group chat going.
let's get a WhatsApp group chat going.
Let you know who the hot players
are. Also, people, I didn't realize.
I'm in New York City, and I see an 8-year-old. He's pretty good. Someone tell Sunil. Let's get that WhatsApp chat going.
You know, but you say, like, there's how many in Germany the size of Oklahoma and how many we have. They're saying some of these players are slipping through the cracks. Bro, those cracks, that's the Grand Canyon. We've just got players leaking out left and right, and we're missing a lot of them. I mean, I know you have to run. You gave us a lot of time.
I've got to run because I've got to go pick up a future national team player, my 3-year-old.
Oh, great. Well, first of all, I want to thank you. If there's one thing you could say to the fans, if you had the chance, what's the first thing you would do on day one? If you win.
The first thing I'd do on day one?
Yeah.
I would, the first thing I do on day one is obviously hire you guys as my hype men.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, job is done. Thank you so much, Kyle Martino. You've been a blast. Thank you so much. I'm sure we'll see you down in Philly for the convention.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, Kyle.
Take care.
Oh, man. Dude, that was awesome.
I can't believe he actually took the time out. We were trying to get him in studio and things got messed up. I'm just happy that we actually got a chance to speak to him. And I mean, I think he clarified a lot of the questions that we had, hopefully the fans as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I felt like he does talk. He gives like a very clear and concise point.
And he adds. We asked him about the SUM thing, and he brought up some of the old issues.
Yeah,
he's not hiding from anything.
He's bringing up old stuff.
He's going deep.
It's great, and there's that's not a thing you normally hear from almost any institution. No. Of like, look, these are the even the problems I've had with them on a personal level.
If I was running for president, I wouldn't answer a goddamn thing. Are you kidding me? SUM?
I don't know that guy.
I mean, you're listening to fake news? Is that what you're really going to do? You're going to ask me about that garbage?
No, but it's great. Look, it's good to hear stuff like that. And, I don't know exactly the platform of all the other candidates, but just to hear that in any kind of campaign it leaves you a little bit optimistic on what the future of U.S. soccer is going
to
look like.
To be honest, if he doesn't win, oof, he is. God, NBC is going to be like, all right, come back and we'll figure this out. You've been banned from everything. But
we can't get you in any building,
We've lost all credentials.
You're not even allowed in the Starbucks in the Stanford offices
anymore.
But
he ate pizza places called saying you're not allowed back in there because you're within the...
That's how much influence Soccer United Marketing has.
And we want to also, if you guys are listening, SUM, we were just kidding about the Empire.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah. Christian brought it up and I was like, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
No, but again,
that was absolute blast.
Thank you so much, Kyle Martino.
And I do feel bad. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And I feel bad that we didn't get to all the questions the fans sent. He didn't give us, we didn't have like an entire day with him. But we tried to get, obviously we got to give him an opportunity to say what he wants, whether he's coming on the show for a specific reason to get his thoughts out there. And also we had a couple of questions. Hopefully we covered a lot. We're going to try to get some of the other candidates on the show as well. It's not easy. They're yeah. busy, and some
and
of
we're
them,
also two comedians.
Just like some of them are not too too happy about this chance. I'm not kidding though. I do want to get Hope Solo on this show. I cannot wait. Okay, cool. Maybe we'll film
as
it
long as I can wear protective gear throughout yeah, the entire yeah. show.
Imagine we're like, we just need you to stay behind this glass. Hope.
I'm gonna be dressed as a hockey goalie from the New York Rangers.
yeah. I'm gonna like, Henrik, we're going downstairs and just go to the equipment.
Yo, Henrik. Can yeah. I just borrow some of your equipment?
Yo, Lundy, what you got for me, baby? What's the biggest pad you got out here?
Because
your boy needs it.
We got a tornado coming in yeah. the office.
So, yeah, this was an absolute blast. You know, coming in the studio on an off day just to talk to my man, Kyle.
Yeah.
Mr.
Martino. Thank you again for coming on the show. Thank you again for SeatGeek for sponsoring this episode again. Make sure you go to SeatGeek.com. Use the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code Cooligans.
Cooligans.
Get $20 off your first purchase.
And remember, they are the official ticket partner of MLS.
Exactly.
They go through all those other websites to find you the best deals. So why not just go directly to them? And if you tell them you're friends of ours, $20.
They got you.
Come on. So, guys, not just that. 5 stars on iTunes would be awesome. The more reviews we get, the higher up we get, the better chance we get to do more interviews like this. And
yeah,
we would absolutely love to.
We're currently at 69 reviews.
Yeah.
Nice.
So don't add any more. Don't put a review up. Light some candles. Huh?
No, but also
eat some pineapple. Help us out a bit.
But get us some extra reviews. We're actually climbing up a little bit in the rankings. When you search soccer in iTunes now, we're like the 15th.
What?
There. Could we come up right there?
Bah, we're doing it.
So we're trying to get
We're trying to promote ourselves to the upper echelon.
We don't want to get relegated.
We've been relegated for too long.
Back down. Please keep doing that. Keep sharing it. Please let people know.
And let us know who you want us to interview.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We're out here doing all this on our own. So if you have an idea of someone that you think would be someone great to interview, someone that maybe is not an immediate name but has like a big part in soccer in America, we would love to know.
Harass them on Twitter. Tell them to come on.
Give us their cell phone number. We'll be texting them at 2 a.m.
Yo, what? Are you up?
Yo, you up? You want to do this podcast?
Do
we number 15 now.
Okay, yeah, we do record at 3:15 a.m. Yeah. So what's the big deal?
Maybe it was a mistake to just text you 69 first. But we wanted you to know how many reviews we got.
That's what it wasn't. It wasn't nothing crude.
It wasn't dirty. Baby, you're the one making it dirty. Also, eat the pineapple. Make it better for us. All right. Now, we won't do that.
All right. Thank you again for listening, everybody. We're having too much fun over
Kyle's
here.
Kyle's going to listen back to this. I hope Kyle shut it off right when the interview ended. Thanks so much, and thanks to his people for helping make this happen.
That's right.
I won't put your names on blast because you know our fans will find your email. So thank you so much to everyone who helped make this happen. Thanks so much to Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17 for letting us do it here. Cumulus Media, check it out. We got some big news about Cumulus Media coming out pretty soon,
That's right. Yep.
So look out on our social media. We're really excited about it.
My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together we are
the Cooligans!